Money FM 89.3, best of primetime.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, for the past decade, fintech companies have moved quickly, forcing incumbents to rethink their core business models and embrace digital innovations. But now the fintech industry itself is maturing and entering a period of rapid change. Companies wondering how they'll fit into this new era must first understand the forces that are pushing the changes. So what will happen when Singapore's fintech scene is no longer a startup's arena? And what can companies do to brace themselves? Joining us to give his insights is Kenneth Bock, Head of Growth and Strategy at Zalika, a high-performance, high-security blockchain platform for enterprises and next-generation applications. Kenneth, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
So from the outside looking in, what are the key drivers to success as legacy players look to spearhead greater developments in the digital financial ecosystem?
Yeah, so this is obviously a very big revolution that's happening in financial services. You know, in July of this year, we should know who has won the Digibank applications. And I think what it really boils down to for software-centric financial services companies and the new digibanks is having a really seamless integrated experience for consumers and SMEs that really serves their needs, that really is embedded with the app-based, mobile-based, cloud-based world that we live in, and obviously, you know, buttoning down on all the risks that exist in the cyber realm, right? With hacking and all the need to comply with regulatory requirements. So it fundamentally requires a new DNA that a lot of these financial-based, software-based applications and companies need to come from other than traditional financial framework.
What's the state of the fintech ecosystem now? I mean, has it passed its startup shine? Should we be worrying about the whole ecosystem maturing at this point?
Yeah, so I think the MAS has done a fantastic job at driving innovation in the fintech scene. Just in Singapore, we have 37 fintech innovation hubs. I think a lot of players are really delivering good B2B products, B2C products. But of course, Singapore is really limited by a small size, you know, to the degree that we can play a role within the greater ASEAN fintech ecosystem, which I feel like we are. You know, the Singapore Fintech Fest that happens at the end of every year is a huge event with all the leading players coming in. So I think we're definitely moving into our own as a fintech hub. You know, Singapore regularly comes up as one of the best fintech hubs in the world to really start a fintech company.
Hmm. What happens though, say Singapore's fintech scene is no longer sort of a startup's arena? What stands to be lost beyond that sort of startup shine, so to speak?
I think it's about a life cycle, right? So there suddenly you will need very agile startups to be able to find products that customers want. You know, there certainly can be a lot of institutionalitis with larger banks, which I think a lot of regulators were trying to push, right? In the European Commission, obviously, had put out a new directive called PSD2, which essentially opened up the banking landscape for fintechs to use APIs. And so
how similar is that to the GDPR?
So GDPR is more of a data
security thing. Yeah,
data. Yeah, exactly. So PSD2 essentially requires the big banks to release or have pipelines for data that fintechs can use. So, you know, to answer your previous question, innovation is super, super important. You know, but it fundamentally requires, for fintech, it's a tremendously regulated environment. So you can't have startups doing willy-nilly. You know, these are very sensitive customer data, and you know, you're dealing with people's money. So the fintechs need to be innovative, but they also need to understand the regulatory framework very well, and also work with the established big banks that, of course, have been around for many decades and, you know, have their own systems.
At the risk of oversimplifying, it sounds like once an ecosystem stops being a startup's arena, there's just more regulatory oversight and then things move slower, fair to say?
Yes, I think so. So this is where, obviously, the MES needs to do a very fine balance between driving innovation or pressing on the accelerator or regulation, which is pressing on the brake, right? So it takes a finesse, a deep understanding of the technologies and the key risks. But I think the MES is very aware of these dynamics, and it really drives the innovation.
So it's time to put rhetoric to the test. What kind of solutions might actually help in this regard?
So, I think I'll speak for blockchain. We are certainly launching a new product called XSGD, and it's a stable coin. It's a Singapore dollar that's essentially issued on our blockchain with our key partner, XFirst. So this is, I guess, an example of the products that we're looking to incorporate in a new kind of financial framework. You can call it an open finance framework or a new fintech framework. You know, it's kind of a financial framework that fundamentally involves a lot of these new technologies like AI, blockchain, big data, and obviously, you know, all living within an app-based, mobile-based framework that really integrates with all the other digital services, right? It could be ordering food, ride sharing, everything is just completely done from your app. So to the degree that it can integrate within that digital experience, I think is where success is going to lie for these new entrants.
We're speaking to Kenneth Bock, who's head of growth and strategy at Zalika. Kenneth, why are solutions that bridge the worlds of traditional systems and those trailblazing technologies the ones which will ultimately capture consumers' needs? Sounds like a difficult balance to strike as well.
Yes, so I think you're absolutely right. So I think it's again, back to the kind of very, you know, I think about how a bank was formally structured, right? These are very, very secure, with very trustable people in charge. They fundamentally have the systems that protect them from risk. But in the new landscape, you need to, again, make sure that you are creating products that customers want, right? So, again, there are all these compliance and regulatory requirements that startups will need to comply with. And in the new landscape, things are becoming more modular, right? So you can almost think about it as finance as a service. There's going to be different layers, like an identity layer, a compliance layer, a payments layer, capital markets layer that fintechs and digibanks will be able to take from and compose their suite of products, right? So I guess I would answer that by saying that it is a new landscape that we're entering into. Both incumbents and new players need to really understand the dynamics of the new landscape. And also the culture, right? Right. Think about the DNA of a software centric startup, right? You have a CTO that really understands that codes, that understands the technical stack, and then you've got a CEO that's really kind of driving the business side. And this kind of setup is really driven towards finding products that customers really want. So how do we enable this, right, in the new landscape?
Just as the CTO and the CEO need to be talking to each other, the CSIO as well, I think these systems, modular that you've described, need to be talking to each other too. And that sounds like it'd be complicated and challenging to do.
Yes, that's fundamentally the bar that a lot of these new digibanks need to achieve, right? Which is why the requirements that the AMS has set, I think, are very prudent. You need to have certain experience with operating a technology platform. You know, you need to have people who really have been in the tech industry, software industry, the finance industry for a number of years. and they can need to be able to work together. They need to have a strong balance sheet, and they really need to make it all kind of really work in a very crowded marketplace. So the bar is high, Howie. I will not deny that.
So what about them fledgling startups, though, in this space, as they try and stay ahead, competing with big boys as well, larger entities?
Right. So I think it really is about understanding the market. And a lot of these bigger players, you know, they can't do everything by themselves, right? They need in-house or external vendors for a lot of these services that they can compose. You know, most banks will want to stick to their core business, right? But to the extent that fintechs can be vendors to bigger players or come up with products that you know, other businesses and consumers would buy, I think where its success lies. So I think it comes back to the agility and the understanding of the market and being able to find you know, a geography that fits your business model, that is kind of sophisticated enough to buy your financial product, and also complying with everything else that you need to keep up with, right? It's the regulator for one, because in many cases the regulations are very different, right? In ASEAN, it's a very fragmented kind of regulatory environment, right? So whatever market that you're choosing, you need to understand what the legal regulatory compliance landscape is, in addition to everything else that's happening on the business side.
Too idealistic to hope for maybe, say, across the world to have one sort of, you know, regulatory framework?
Yes, I mean, there's been...
As they've been talking about regulating AI as well in the same fashion.
Right. So this is definitely beyond my pay grade. But
venture a guess, if you will, Kenneth. Well, in an ideal world, that would solve everything, wouldn't it?
Well, the Bank of International Settlements is the central banker's central bank, right? So I think, you know, they've published some excellent reports on the state of fintech. You know, they've surveyed lots of regulatory frameworks. And I think, you know, that's maybe the best that we can do in making sure that all these different frameworks are synced up. Because, again, every country will want, you know, control over their systems, their laws, you know, their money supply. So these are the dynamics that we fundamentally have to balance. To the degree that we can get, you know, different regulators talking to one another and the tech stack working, I think we're ready. That's a big success for all of us.
Hope springs eternal, right? Kenneth Bock is Head of Growth and Strategy at Zelica. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Howie.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.